All right. Yes, I am an old rock and roller. Hello and welcome to our inaugural podcast. My name is Buford Law, and you are listening to Law and Disorder 2.0. I want to thank you for tuning in today. This is going to be an overview of our podcast and what is going to be in store for the future. So bear with me, and I will try to run down some of the topics and some of the expertise that we'll be bringing on to the show. My background personally is I served in the United States Marine Corps, Semper Fi, to all my fellow devil dogs out there. I was deployed during the first Gulf War against Mr. Saddam Hussein back in 1990-1991. So after that, I began a law enforcement career when I got back from my deployment. I worked for two different agencies in the vast number of areas of law enforcement over the course of 26 years. I also had an opportunity to serve as president of a police association union that conducted many, many different facets of assisting officers, everything from disciplinary actions to collective bargaining for pay and benefits and retirement, lobbying at the State House and in Washington, D.C., conducting political campaigns for certain issues to better law enforcement, obtaining grants for equipment and those type things. So, yes, I've been exposed to quite a bit of law enforcement and a lot of bit of the political side as well. And I believe that I got a pretty good working knowledge of the system, unfortunately, I must say, because over the past 25 to 30 years, law enforcement has made so many drastic changes, some in a very, very unique and beneficial way, with equipment, experience, more educated officers, better trained officers physically, better trained officers in handling crisis situations, and agencies across this country should be thanked on a daily basis for exercising due diligence and doing a fantastic job. And I'm going to say up front, in my very first episode, I will always be on the side of law enforcement. However, I will not be on the side of anyone who tries to use their authority, badge, position to gain anything for themselves or use it inappropriately in an illegal manner. And I will not defend them. And I will take shots at any political leader who tries to use police officers as pawns in a very dangerous game of protecting our citizens. And we'll get on to that in later episodes. But that's a little bit about me, and that's a little bit about how I feel about things. And you'll hear a lot more as time goes on about my position and what I think. For a vast majority of my career, I was silenced by rules and regulations pertaining to my jobs that does not allow police officers and firefighters and other first responders to speak out. And I think that's wrong. They don't have a voice, but it's about time they have one, and it starts here. Some of the topics that I'm going to cover over the next few weeks and hopefully a very long time, because things change rapidly in our time, and I'm going to try to take topics as they come and as they're relevant in today's society. And then I may take a step back in time, because that's what our, that's what us old timers do from time to time, particularly military personnel and cops. We love to tell stories, but I'm going to try not to tell you too many boring stories. And I will do my best to never tell you anything that is untrue or unfactual. If it's my opinion, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's my opinion. But I'm always right. So anyway, one of the big things that we were going to cover on our first few shows is PTSD. PTSD is known well throughout the country. It affects a large majority of our military personnel, and it affects a tremendous amount of our first responders. I intend on bringing on some experts to talk about PTSD and its effects and causes, and also how to treat PTSD and to encourage our chiefs and sheriffs and mayors throughout the country that it is not something to be afraid of, but it needs to be addressed. One fact that I recently read that was very disturbing to me is that suicide rate is now higher than any in the line of duty fatalities in this country among first responders. Folks, that's a problem. That's a problem. It's not being addressed appropriately. States are slowly making strides in this country to pass legislation to take care of our first responders when incidents happen and they need mental health therapy and appropriate treatment. And we shouldn't be afraid of anybody is suffering from PTSD to the effect that they may be unstable or not be able to do their job. What we should be afraid of is not treating that person and the final outcome, and everybody's looking around at each other thinking, I could have done something I didn't. So that's one of our topics we're going to cover, and I look forward to that and bringing on some folks that are experienced and can give you professional analysis. I can give you, again, my opinion on things, and I can give you facts. And those facts, like I just stated, that is an alarming figure. Things have to be done to make that better. We're going to talk about use of force in the coming episodes. We're going to talk about deadly force issues, civil rights, convictions, indictments of police officers, race. That's right. I'm not afraid to talk about race. I will talk about it. I will give you my opinion, and I'll also give you facts. So be prepared for that. I will gladly take comments and gladly listen to your concerns through our voicemail that we have set up and our email address. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to change my mind. Community policing will be discussed. We're going to take major cities across the country, and we're going to look at smaller cities across the country in rural areas and compare and see the contrast of the way community policing is handled and show you that the definition alone of community policing is non-existent. Everybody that you come in contact with in life, whether they're law enforcement, in the legal profession, attorneys, judges, everybody has their own opinion of what community policing really is. And very few of them are absolutely wrong. Most of them are spot on, and things that they think need to be done should be done. But sometimes they're not practical. Sometimes they're just not doable. And sometimes that's not what the police are here for. Police are here at the end of the day to put bad guys in jail. And we'll talk more about that in our community policing episode. People versus the police. And I made that note to myself, and I thought about it for a second. Maybe I should rephrase that or think about another way to word it. But I believe that law enforcement feels that they have no friends. It's them against the world. And I think the media has painted that picture. Bad incidents that have happened across the country. Some that were reported not so truthfully are exaggerated to create such a disturbance and such a problem and such a spectacle that police suddenly became the enemy overnight. And that has a strong effect on the way our officers conduct themselves and do their jobs in present day. And we'll discuss more of that in the coming days. Is there a declaration of war on police by certain elements of this of our society? I think so. Is it as big a problem as some people think? We'll ask those questions, and we'll do everything we can to answer those questions. We're going to talk about rural America, local, state, federal initiatives to try to curtail the problem with the declaration of war on police. And we're going to get a lot more into that as well in the coming episodes. We're going to talk about age of law enforcement officers. I think that's a very important topic and a very interesting one. You know, we hear about millennials now, and we have the Generation X, Generation Y, and all these things that factor into any work environment out there, okay? Everybody has their older, wiser managers and human resources directors and things like that in everyday walks of life in all facets. But law enforcement, how is that so much different? Well, in the contrast between a millennial and somebody that's almost labeled as a dinosaur, like yours truly here, see things in a different light. A career law enforcement officer of 25 years is carrying a lot of knowledge and experience around. The millennial generation is the young fast guys you need to run down a bad guy, to simplify it that much. You need those. And at one time I was one of those, but I'm telling you right now, it's going to have to be something really bad for me to start running, and it probably won't be pretty. But anyway, at the end of the day, I want to talk about that more. The age, where are we headed? The retention of officers, keeping that 25-year officer there 5 more years to make 30, and because you need that knowledge. Recruiting the new millennials and teaching them how to be law enforcement professionals. All these dynamics are very complex. They're more complex now than they ever have been because of the demands put on law enforcement. The older officers having to learn new ways of doing things. The younger officers trying to gain knowledge from the older ones. And they don't like it. They want to move jobs after 2 or 3 years. Nobody likes to do the work of a law enforcement officer anymore. Look around. Every jurisdiction in this country, including the federal government, are having trouble recruiting officers. For the first time in my entire law enforcement career, I heard a long story on a talk radio show with the FBI recruiting. The FBI has never, to my knowledge, had to actively go out and do radio shows and run ads asking people to apply to be a federal agent in the FBI, because it's always been a small agency and a prestigious agency that a lot of people wanted to go to work for. So that's going to be discussed a little bit more. Retention and recruiting, and how do we keep those knowledgeable older law enforcement officers and find the millennials that we can train and want to make a career in this very volatile and unstable environment that we're working in right now. We're going to talk about the protection of law enforcement officers. Has it gone too far? Is it not far enough? Things like police officers' bill of rights that vary from state to state, and there's even a national one. We're going to talk about their legal counsel, their rights under an investigation. Should they be forced to give statements? Can they be forced to give statements? Body camera evidence, all those type things I want to delve into and expose you guys to what's really going on. I said in the beginning of the show, I talked about police officers being used as political pawns, and I believe that. Everybody wants to improve law enforcement, stop crime down, bring violent crime down, make our streets safer. They all embrace police. And then when they're elected and the police say, mind if we get a little bit more money here for getting shot at every day? They get the door slammed in their face. Until 3 years goes by and it's time to get reelected. And here we go again. So yes, every day in America, across the country, police officers are being used as political pawns. And it's time that that gets brought to light and the silence be broken by me and anybody brave enough to come on my show and tell people like it is, how officers really feel. So we're going to get way into that, I promise you. That will be multiple episodes. Common goals that we all have as citizens of this country. We all want to be safe, secure. We don't want to worry about our kids in school with some maniac coming in to do them some kind of harm. But we have to look at it in today's glasses that are definitely rose-colored. People do not have the intestinal fortitude to witness some things that police officers does. And they want to hold them accountable like they did something wrong. And here we go down this path of injustice. Because that is an injustice. You cannot force law enforcement to police an area and use words like zero tolerance. We got to stop this violence. We got to do this. We got to do that. And then the first time you see an officer fight somebody to the ground and put handcuffs on them because they're committing a felonious act, and then you put it on the 6 o'clock news and say that they're violating their rights and start stomping around, that's got to stop. You can't have it both ways, my friends. Some things are not pretty to watch, but you know what? They're not wrong either. So we're going to talk a lot more about that. And you may can hear a little bit in my voice that's very passionate and near and dear to me. And I want to bring some very good people on in the future to talk about that and get their opinion. We're going to have real talk on this show, folks. Real talk. I don't mind bringing anyone on my show that disagrees with me, has a difference of opinion. However, I will let them know my opinion, and then you can decide. You can decide. Because I intend to tell it like it is, and I will ask hard questions, and I will research my guest speakers and see how their relationship is with law enforcement and the legal community. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Supreme Court decisions, the makeup of the Supreme Court now. What does that mean for law enforcement? We're going to talk about union versus non-union agencies. We're going to talk about a vast array of things. I really look forward to hearing from you and your ideas, what you want to hear me talk about in a real way and in a way that will get the attention that it needs. Because I can promise you that if it's important to you and you reach out to me with a problem, we will talk about it. You don't have to give me your information. You can be anonymous. You can be in a police department. You can be a citizen on the street. You can be in New York. You can be in Chicago. You can be in LA. It does not matter to me. But if you call on an anonymous basis, please allow me to be able to fact check whatever it is you want to talk about that may be a problem in your agency. Because if I can't find some kind of fact check on it that makes it somewhat relevant and true, I'm not going to get on here and talk about it. If it's a general statement about how you feel, if you're a cop out there listening and you want to give me your opinion, I'll play your voicemail if you ask me to on the show. I will never do that unless I'm asked. I will never read an email unless I'm asked. But I will do it. So you have to be very specific when you reach out to us. If you want to call in to our special line, all set up for you. There is no caller ID. There is no way for me to tell where the number is coming from. And I am not working for NSA or CIA, and I promise you, I could care less. I want to hear good information. If you want me to call you back and discuss something, I would be more than happy to. But I will never break that promise of protecting your identity and your anonymity. The number is 225-380-3747. Again, that's 225-380-3747. You can email us at BufordLawAndDisorder@gmail.com. Again, that's BufordLawAndDisorder@gmail.com. That information is also on the podcast link before you click to listen. You can obtain that there in the description of what our podcast is going to be. Our information is on there. I look forward to each and every one of you listening. I hope that you can gain some knowledge through this. And again, I will be speaking plain English. Real talk, folks. Real talk. It's about time we have that. And it's definitely time for you to be heard and have a voice once and for all. I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere. Please contact me. Thank you.